أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والليل إذا يغشى والنهار إذا تجلى وما خلق الذكر والأنثى إن سعيكم لشتى فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى وما يغني عنه ماله إذا تردى إن علينا للهدى وإن لنا للآخرة والأولى فأنذرتكم نارا تلظى لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى الذي كذب وتولى وسيجنبها الأتقى الذي يؤتي ماله يتزكى وما لأحد عنده من نعمة تجزى إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى.
By the morning, by the night when it conceals the light of the day, and by the day when it appears in its splendor, and by the creation of the male and the female, indeed, the ends for which you strive are diverse. He who gives in the path of Allah Ta'ala, he who is generous, fears Allah Ta'ala, and testifies that which is best and right, then will we make the path of ease easy for him. And the one who is miserly and considers himself to be self-sufficient and rejects that which is best and right, then he will make the path of difficulty easy for him. His wealth will be of no use to him when he falls into the pit of Jahannam. In this opening verses, Allah Ta'ala shows the diversity in man, like the diversity in the day and the night. Diversity in the male and the female, the night's function is totally different, characteristic is totally different, the day's is totally different. Similar to a male and a female, both may seem outwardly to be equal, but the characteristic, the biology, and the inclinations are totally different. So similar are your striving, the ends for which you strive, both are totally diverse. Both outwardly seem to be the same one human being, but the ends for which you strive is totally diverse. There is the one who gives out generously, fears Allah Ta'ala, and testifies. So his path and journey to the hereafter, and the path of life becomes easy and smooth for him. Then there is the other one who is miserly, he's got an attitude, and he is disconcerned about people, etc., and rejects that which is best. It is the right thing to believe in, he rejects it. Then his path is made, the path of difficulty is made easy for him. The hadith, it is mentioned that every person gets up in the morning and he sells himself. فَمُوبِقُنْ نَفْسَهُ. One is the person who sells it himself for a loss, and the other one is the one that sells himself for some gain. So there are two classes of people that we see around, that is in the creation, one he will give freely in the path, and what taqa, and he's concerned about the hereafter appearing before Allah Ta'ala. And all this is prompted by his true beliefs. His beliefs are right. So because of his beliefs being right, Therefore, he has a concern about appearing before Allah Ta'ala, and that is what prompts him to give out freely and generously. And then this person's path, his whole journey of life to the hereafter becomes smooth and easy for him. Then there is the second person who is miserly, and he shows an attitude, he thinks to himself to be self-sufficient, and he rejects all that which is true and right. So the path of difficulty is made smooth and easy for him. And this is so obvious, see it with our eyes, that one takes one path, and that path becomes so easy for him. He manages it so well, although logically it seems to be so difficult, but that path becomes so easy for him. So this is the comparison of the righteous against the person that is irreligious. The righteous person finds solace, he finds comfort and satisfaction in the obedience for Allah Ta'ala, giving out, helping people, concerned about appearing before Allah Ta'ala. So all works of righteousness seem to be so easy for him. To get up in the early part of the morning, devote himself to Allah Ta'ala, have a wash, and spend some time in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So this becomes so easy for him. And the other person is totally disregarding the hereafter, disconcerned about people, disconcerned about the right beliefs. He's miserly, he's for himself, he's just self-centered. Then the path of difficulty seems to be so easy and smooth for him. Though you can see the toiling and the struggle that he goes through, what time he gets up, what meetings he attends, what sacrifices he makes in flying from here to there. But that path that he has chosen is a path of difficulty, but it's made easy for him. So it's left to the individual in this probationary life. Both the ends have been opened out to you. It is for mankind to use his will correctly and choose that which is best for him in this life and the next. Inna alayna al huda. Allah Ta'ala consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to exert himself in struggling and striving that mankind comes onto the right. So Allah Ta'ala says, it is for us to give guidance, and to us belongs the first and the end, the beginning and the end. Everything belongs to us, be it the hereafter, be it this life, be it the pleasures of the hereafter, be it the ease of this world. Everything belongs to us. So don't be concerned about these people and their treatment. So I warn you of a fire that is blazing, it is only the most unfortunate that will enter it, the one that rejects and turns away. But the one that is righteous, and he will be prevented and protected therefrom. The one that gives his wealth to get additional purification, and he gives out his wealth not on account of any favor in his mind for which a reward is expected. He doesn't do a good for some type of a worldly and a material favor, for a material reward. He does it only for the countenance of Allah Ta'ala, the Most High. It is normal when a person gives out a gift that he expects something in return. So he does not give it for some type of material favor. He does it only to gain the countenance and the pleasure of his Rabb Most High. And soon will he be pleased. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the one that is righteous and what will be his end. So the Sahaba Kiram radiyallahu anhum, each one of them have been promised kullahu wa'adallahu al-husna. All of them, every one of them, Allah Ta'ala has promised a good ending for them. They may have had some inconsistencies or some mistakes that they have made in this life, but Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذِيبْنَ السَّيِّعَاتِ. Their good was so enormous that in the ocean of the good, small little debris will be all washed out. The good will replace and atone for the small mistakes and the faults that they have perpetrated. Further, the hadith also says that هُمُ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْقَى جَلِيسُهُمْ وَلَا يَخَابُ أَنِيسُهُمْ. They are such a people that the one that frequents them, he is never deprived. The one that likes them and takes a liking for them, then he never fails. So this is generally the benefit of good company. This righteous company, And the righteous company doesn't leave the person in a loss. He is not totally deprived. He is blessed in some way or the other just on account of the righteous company. Then what about those who had the company and the companionship of Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You can well imagine what will be their position like. Ordinary good company, it keeps a person in track. It gives him the righteousness, it gives him the reward of both the life. And then the company and the association of Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can well imagine what will be its returns, what will be its rewards. وَالْضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. By the glorious morning light, and by the night when it becomes still, your Rabb has not forsaken you, nor is He displeased with you. And the hereafter is far better for you than this present life. And your Rabb will grant you favors for which you will be pleased. Consider the fact that did He not find you, and often, and He granted you shelter, He found you not being fully aware of the path, though you had iman and there was righteousness in you, but the details of the path you had known, He had granted you that understanding of the details of the path. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. And He had found you in need, and He had made you independent, free of needs. So, as for the yatim, the orphan, then don't treat him with harshness. And the petitioner, don't repulse him, and the favors of your Rabb do proclaim. There were several occasions when there was an interval of the wahi. Wahi came, and there was an interval, a few days or a few weeks, and there was an intermission where wahi had stopped, and again wahi had continued. So in this period, sometimes people had jeered, like it was the way of the kuffar, those that were against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They saw something inconsistent, the wahi was coming and wahi has stopped now for a moment. So they found an occasion to jeer him, to persecute him, to run him down, and they say that your Rabb has forsaken you. So Allah Ta'ala says, like the morning and the night, morning and the day full of activity, and the night as still as ever. So these are natural phenomena for the smooth administration of life. And it is not an indication of the pleasure or the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, like the day is followed by the night, or the night succeeds the day. Then this is not an indication, the night is not an indication that Allah Ta'ala's favors, na'uzubillah, have been blocked off. And nor is the day an indication that Allah Ta'ala is very happy with a person. So this is a natural phenomena, it has to happen. So similar is the process of wahi. It will come, and then there will be an intermission, it will continue. It is not an indication that Allah Ta'ala is ever displeased with you. So don't worry about these people's jeering, persecuting, and your loneliness in this mission of yours. Don't be concerned about this. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. And the hereafter is far better for you than the present. This life will have its toils, it will have its trials. So don't be too concerned about these trials and toiling, because they must come to an end. And the hereafter is far better than this present life. And He'll grant you so much that you will definitely be pleased. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thereafter says that when Allah Ta'ala has assured me that He will grant me so much that I will definitely be pleased, then I will only be pleased that every ummati of mine must be blessed. There mustn't be a single ummati of mine that is left. Even la arda wa wahidun min ummati fin nar. Every ummati of mine must be saved and must be blessed. Then only will I be pleased. The concern, the affinity that he has with this ummat, Nabi was reciting the verse, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk. And the word, فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ أَصَّانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. The du'as of Ibrahim and Isa alayhi salam, and how they had petitioned Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Nabi Sam cried to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a long time, Ummati, Ummati, my Ummah, Ya Allah, what about my Ummah? Jibreel Islam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, although Allah ta'ala knows everything, He sees and knows what is the most discreet in your heart, he knows about it. So Jibreel Islam came and inquired, what is the thing that causes you to cry? He says, I'm crying about the fate of my ummah. So Allah Ta'ala assured him that we will grant you so much and will grant you so much that you will never be displeased. Every ummati of yours will be favored. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Then Allah Ta'ala says, what you are supposed to be doing, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. Did we not find you an orphan and granted you shelter? You went away fully of the path and we had guided you. He had found you in need and he had granted you independence. So you also, in your turn, don't ever repulse or don't ever treat the yatim, don't ever ill-treat the yatim. And the petitioner, don't you repulse him. And the favors of your Rabb, then you proclaim. Therefore the hadith says, in any place, any town, any village, the best home is that home wherein the yatim is seen correctly. Often he's seen with favor and with kindness. And the worst home is that home where the yatim and that orphan is treated harshly. Similarly, the one that petitions your help and assistance, then don't repulse him. Allah Ta'ala could turn the tables around. You could be in his position. So consider the fact that today Allah Ta'ala has granted you wealth. He kept you at a position of strength and power. Then don't abuse this position. Rather, be considerate towards this person. So he may be, like you may say, a pain in the neck, or keeps asking for favors, inquiring from you all the time. But what are you supposed to be doing? Are you supposed to be getting frustrated with the person, give him a mouthful, give him your mind, etc.? Or consider the fact that Allah Ta'ala could reverse the whole position. You could be in his position. So Allah Ta'ala favored you, he saved you from the problems that he's going through. So don't repulse him. Treat him with gentleness, kindness, with respect. Though he may ask you and he may persist, he may frustrate you, but you're not supposed to be getting frustrated thinking and considering the fact that Allah Ta'ala has favored you so much. And then how do you get this right is you proclaim the favors of your Rabb. So you should enumerate the favors of your Rabb within your mind, amongst your friends, and overall even the favors of people, talk about them. As the hadith says, that one who is not grateful to people then really is not appreciative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, your appreciation to Allah ta'ala will only be accepted if you show appreciation to people as well. Therefore the Sahaba Kiram had inquired, what about a person who has given us so much, has done so much of good for us, but we don't have that amount to return the favors that he has done for us? What are we supposed to be doing? So Nabi Sallam has given two pieces of advice. One is to make dua for that person. Number two, to acknowledge the good that he has done, to talk about it, to acknowledge the good and the favors that he has bestowed you with, and also make dua for the person.